In Legal Talk today, we want to find out more about the protection of musicians' rights in South Africa as we talk about a recent case which saw a local restaurant group taken to task for allegedly using music without compensating the artists. The case was brought by the South African Music Performance Rights Association, SAMPRA, against restaurant group Life and Brand, which owns brands like La Parada, Harbour House, Live Bait and Tiger's Milk, to name a couple. And look, the dispute has been settled already, but it opens an interesting window into how artists are meant to be compensated when their work is used in situations like this. In other words, not downloading a song to listen to online, for example, but what happens when their work is used as background music in a shopping mall or a restaurant setting. In a few minutes, we'll speak to an entertainment lawyer for a sort of a broader view, but first I thought it would be helpful to speak to SAMPRA itself. For those who don't know, SAMPRA is a collective management organization which administers this question of what's called needle time rights, how artists are compensated for their music being played in these kind of scenarios. And it does so on behalf of roughly 40,000 recording artists and several thousand record companies. On the line with me is their CEO, Fanani Leshiva. Fanani, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this opportunity.
It's a pleasure. Could you begin by telling us what the obligation is if somebody like a restaurant or a shopping mall or any other business wants to play music in the background to keep their customers calm while they wait, for example? Do they owe royalties to the artist whose music they're playing?
Yes, they do. Let me start by reiterating what you said earlier, that SAMPRA is a collective management organization, commonly known as a collective society. Mm-hmm. We administer a right that is known as neighboring right, but neighboring right is commonly referred to as needle time right in South Africa.
Okay.
This is the right of remuneration for recording artists and record companies when their music is used in public. So to answer your question, yes, there is an obligation, and I like the fact that you have said that they use music to keep their customers happy and calm and all that. Mm-hmm. Music creates an ambience. When you go to a restaurant, you don't go to a restaurant to listen to music. You go to a restaurant to enjoy your food, your meals.
Yeah.
But there is research that has been done that indicates that if there was no background music, no matter how delicious the food would be, you would probably go next door mm-hmm. where the food is not as delicious, but this music. So there is an obligation that you are using music in public. And what we mean by public performance, public performance refers to the usage of music to add value to one's business.
Okay.
So as I said earlier, you are providing meals, but you are using music to add value to that, because you know that in the absence of music, people are likely to spend less time than they would if there was music.
Right. So in this particular case, Fanani, did somebody come to you, a particular artist, and complain and say, my songs are being played in those restaurants and I'm not seeing a cent for it? Or how did it actually come about that you took the step of laying a charge in this case?
We've got licensing inspectors
okay.
that go around the country checking establishments that are using music but are not licensed. So once they've picked up one, they then hand over to our sales consultants, who would then go to that particular music establishment, that is using music, and say, you are using music in public, and this is what we call public performance. And because you are doing public performance, you need to pay us a license fee. In turn, we will then process the license fee that we've received from you to pay royalties to record companies and recording artists whose music you have used. So that is how we picked it up.
Okay, so what happened in this particular case? I know the case has been settled in the interim between us hearing about it and scheduling this interview. Can you tell us a little bit more about how things played out?
We started negotiating with Life and Brand Portfolio in 2019. Then there was COVID in 2020, so the negotiations were sort of slowed down, but we picked up again in 2021. So by the end of 2023, we came to the conclusion that they were just not willing to negotiate, and they were not willing to do the right thing. We then decided to lay criminal charges
sure.
against the directors of Life and Brand Portfolio in their individual capacities for the fact that we had been negotiating with them for 5 years, and they knew what we were talking about because we took them through the relevant pieces of legislation, and we then decided that the best route was to lay criminal charges against them. But we were still going to sue them because they had been using music since 2019. We were going to go for a civil litigation to get them to pay us the money that they owed us. So fortunately, when we started a media campaign in February 2023, they quickly came to the party. I was contacted by the CEO, the group CEO of Life and Brand Portfolio, and on LinkedIn, and requesting a connection, and I accepted it, and we started talking. And the following day, we had a meeting, and the dispute was resolved.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you can't share confidential details with us, but dispute resolved, does that involve a payment of money that is owed to the artists who retrospectively had their music played? But I would imagine, Fanani, very essential to this conversation is a commitment to doing things differently going forward.
Yes. So the settlement involves them paying us, and we have already invoiced them. If I'm not wrong, I think the invoice was issued last Thursday.
Okay.
And they are cooperating. And yes, the CEO of Life and Brand Portfolio apologized, and he pointed out that he was not aware that there were people who were trying to block us. And to be fair to him, we never got to talk to him because we tried so many times to say, can we talk to the group CEO? And I think there were some gatekeepers who were making sure that it didn't happen. And he said that he was surprised when he saw the criminal charges being served on him and other directors. And it was at the same time when we embarked on the media campaign.
Okay, so it's been resolved, and there's a commitment to improving behavior going forward, as well as a commitment to paying those outstanding royalties. My final question to you, Fanani, is what you hope this case might signify for the industry more broadly. Do you think this will serve as something of a warning to others not to ignore their obligation to pay?
Yes, we hope so, because Life and Brand Portfolio was not the only corporate citizen that was behaving the way they did. We also have the likes of Food Lovers, who have also been sending us from pillar to post. And we hope that with this campaign that we embarked on against Life and Brand Portfolio, there would be an improvement in terms of corporates behaving responsibly. Because for us, it does not make sense that you want to trade in South Africa, but there is a section of the population that you are sending a message that you don't care about. And that section of the population is recording artists. And you are using their property, but you are saying that, yes, I'll use the property, but I'm not going to pay for it. So we hope that it will send a signal to the others that have also, for lack of better word, I'll say that I've been delinquent, to realize that this is serious business, and for them not to come to the party. They are hating the very artists they claim to love. Sampra is just there as a representative of this artist. We do not collect money for ourselves. We do that on behalf of our artists.
Thank you so much. Fanani Leshiba is CEO of Sampra. As I mentioned, they are the South African Music Performance Rights Association. Now, I want to bring in, just for a slightly broader view on this matter, Ben Winks, who is an independent advocate specializing in media law as well as constitutional and international law, and was listening into that part of the conversation. Ben, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Listening to the case, Fanani's description of what they've been through, the years of negotiations to try and reach a settlement in this particular case, are you surprised, or does that scenario represent perhaps a broader problem in your experience as a lawyer?
No, it certainly does represent a broader problem. It's needle time rights, or so-called pay-for-play rights for artists, for many years weren't recognized in South Africa.
Yeah.
And you would have artists dying penniless despite having what appeared to be a great deal of commercial success with their works. And for that reason, the laws were changed in 2002 to recognize these rights. But unfortunately, what Parliament did was they didn't actually determine what the royalty should be when a work is broadcast on radio or television, or performed in public, like in a restaurant or a shopping mall. And said that it has to be determined by agreement between the one broadcasting it or playing it and the collecting society like SAMPRA. Now, the difficulty there is that if the parties don't agree, then what happens? Well, then the legislature said you must take it to the copyright tribunal, but there were no guidelines to tell the tribunal, you know, what percentage must SAMPRA get of the revenue that this place receives or generates.
Yeah.
And it went, there was a very significant court case that was finalized in 2014, went to the Supreme Court of Appeal, dealing with broadcasters, so your SABC, other radio stations. It was between the National Association of Broadcasters and SAMPRA, as well as SAMRO. Mm-hmm. And the court said that when a broadcaster is broadcasting songs, you have to follow a particular formula where the amount of time spent broadcasting SAMPRA's songs, SAMPRA needs to derive, it's a bit more complicated than this, but should get 3% of the revenue. Now, it's quite easy to calculate when you're dealing with a radio station how much time is spent broadcasting songs,
yeah,
and how it relates to the revenue. And in that case, the court said 3% was a reasonable rate. Now, how do you do the same when it comes to a restaurant? Because their revenue is determined by food and drink sales. How do you factor in the value add of the music? It's something that, as a result, because there's no court case setting the royalty, it's something that, again, has to be agreed to between the restaurant and SAMPRA. And in the absence of an agreement, it has to be referred to the copyright tribunal. So this is the major difficulty, because there isn't a fixed royalty rate,
right,
for this particular industry and other industries. You know, outside of broadcasting, we don't have a particular rate that covers other industries. That creates a lot of scope for disputes.
Okay, Ben, thanks for explaining that. And it's fascinating to think about the complexity of arriving at those rates of compensation in that kind of setting. Somebody asking, does it matter the format the music's being played in? If they're playing off a CD player in the back of the restaurant or streaming straight from Spotify into their restaurant speakers, does that impact the amount that they have to pay?
It wouldn't make a difference, because the Act simply speaks about performing it or publishing it or communicating it in public for commercial reasons. So if you are playing it in public for commercial reasons, as a restaurant or a shopping mall does, then it would trigger the obligation to pay a royalty, subject, of course, to the royalty either being agreed or determined by the Copyright Tribunal.
Just in closing, Ben, I mean, SAMPRA are telling us they believe this is a significant case reaching settlement in this particular case involving the Life and Brand Group. Do you think it is as well? Do you think that what has happened in this case might set a precedent and serve as a warning to others that their days of getting away with not paying are numbered?
I don't really think so. I think each time SAMPRA is going to have an uphill battle with whomever is playing music without a license and without paying royalties, until such time as the legislature, parliament, actually intervenes and sets particular royalty rates for different industries. Otherwise, it's always going to be incumbent on the artists or mm-hmm. SAMPRA or other representative collecting societies to find out who is broadcasting the works of their members and to try and compel them to agree to a reasonable royalty or otherwise take them to the Copyright Tribunal. There's no incentive really for someone playing the music to voluntarily approach SAMPRA mm-hmm. and offer a royalty. So that it will be an uphill battle unless the law actually changes.
Ben Winks, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and appreciate your insight there. Independent advocate specializing in media law as well as constitutional and international law.